Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, it's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. This is episode number 26. Thank you very much for giving it a listen and, subscribing if you have subscribed. If not, I suggest you do, and then we'll deliver the next one straight to you. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
That is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Phil has climbed a mountain and done a four-hour cycle trek. I'm training to run a marathon in a couple of weeks. JB, what have you done this weekend?
What have I done? Well, I played rugby yesterday, but on the way in here, I mentioned last week the uncooperative nature of the security at the rugby podcast.
Yeah.
Today, I came in, I followed Phil, and the security guard came up and asked me, who are you going to see? To which I replied, the PKK, which were a terrorist organisation just inside of Turkey. He said, yeah, sure, no problem, let me in. So I think every week now, I'm going to start just making up new things.
Yeah, well, anyway, listen, we've got loads of rugby to talk about. It was a brilliant return of the Aviva Premiership. A hat full of tries and plenty to talk about there. Plenty of stuff off the field to talk about, not least the Honey Badger, who, if you've been listening to the podcast since the very start, we have been just massive fans of for a long time now, and he's been at it again. But another big story off the field from rugby concerns Andy Powell, which has already raised a smile on JB's face. It's the sort of story that just makes you put your palm to your forehead. Well, firstly, Andy Powell's now retired from rugby league.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently he's no longer playing for Wigan.
Okay.
Well, I saw some tweets from him today saying that, because he had a neck operation, and he said he's done for this season, but he'll be back next season.
I read in February they were close to releasing him, but I can't find any information if he is a player or if he's not a player.
They've not made an official statement from what I can read. But he says he'll be back next season.
I bet they don't want the baggage that he comes with right now. Now, obviously, this is just tabloid stories and all the rest of it. And we don't we like talking about rugby, but this is such a high-profile story from such a big character. British Lion, Welsh international.
It's a very odd one, isn't it? Because it could only happen to Andy Powell.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything which happens to Andy Powell, like I mentioned in the other podcasts, if you're a lad between the ages of probably 20 to 35, and you come from South Wales, you've got a drinking story about Andy Powell. So everything you hear about
what's yours? Let's just reiterate your one again.
I met Andy Powell in Cardiff, and when he told us he was Andy Powell, my mate said, no, you're not. Andy Farrell looks nothing like you. He bought us a round of drinks, and this is when he was playing for Glamorgan Wanderers. He said
Andy Powell looks nothing like you. So he said no, Andy Farrell then.
Yeah, so it was loud, and my friend thought he said,
I'm Andy Farrell.
And he was playing for Glamorgan Wanderers, and he said, I'm going to be starting eight for the Blues, starting eight for Wales, starting eight for the Lions. At that time, he had Xavi Rush in front of him at the Blues, and Ryan Jones as captain. And within 6 months, he had actually achieved all of that, which is pretty incredible.
Wow.
So that was my encounter
with
Andy
Powell. Didn't he also rip his top off and flex?
No, he didn't, but he had loads of pictures on his phone of him with no top on flexing. He's just, he's a bit of an idiot, but he's a great guy. Like, if you meet him, he is just a great guy. I suppose he's our version of, the honey badger or something, you know?
In a sense.
I wouldn't want to, marry the guy. Well, that's a fact.
Well, you wouldn't want to marry the guy.
No.
You wouldn't want to. Natasha Gascoigne did.
Yeah.
And she's now going on a massive media assault to raise a load of cash. I mean, get her side of the story out.
Oh, yeah, because it's important, isn't it? Because I think people up and down the country are wondering what's happening to Andy Powell's marriage. Now, as big rugby followers, we had no idea what was going on until she made it public. So nobody cares, ultimately.
We spoke about him last weekend. We had no idea all this was... If only we'd known.
If only. This, to me, strikes me as if it's the height of her life, as if this is probably what she's been building up for God knows how long. And, you know, with a bit of luck, she might get, you know, a job on I'm a Celebrity or something.
Actually, that's a great prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good prediction. Or Celebrity Big Brother or one of those.
She might be one of the very few people in the world who are a bigger head case than Andy Powell. And the fact that Cosmic Forces have brought them together.
Well, Cosmic Forces being her suggesting he take her out on Twitter before they'd even met.
Oh,
and then getting engaged within 3 months of knowing each other.
She thought it through then.
The thing I don't like about it is there's loads of sports fans of like football going, see? Anyone who says rugby blokes are any different from footballers, look at this story, see?
It wouldn't make any difference, right? This girl's future is probably going to be chasing ex-footballers.
Well, I think that's what her last 5 years have been spent doing.
I'm pretty sure she's had at least 3 or 4 dates with El Hadj Diouf. I mean, that's kind of individual we're talking about.
I'm sure she will have been searching for a footballer, rugby player, someone with some money. She found one stupid enough to actually message back.
Oh, poor old Andy Powell.
Only Andy Powell.
Well, the unfortunate thing is, because the marriage has broken down and she's made accusations, let's not go into what she's claimed about him because it's down to... that's all conjecture, but what has been posted all over the newspapers and all over online are text messages from Andy Powell. I mean, to be fair, if you think about all the texts that you've ever sent to anyone that you've ever been with, like your wife-to-be, my wife now, and your girlfriend... You know, you probably sent something you wouldn't necessarily want plastered in a newspaper.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want the stuff which I write on the Egg Chasers WhatsApp group getting into public.
You're pretty libelous almost every day.
So let's try and fill in the gaps, because the newspapers have left some gaps, haven't they? Now, do you have these in front of you, Phil?
I do. I have exactly the same with the gaps.
Go on then.
So I'm staying at Mum's. This is from Andy Powell to her. I'm staying at Mum's. Got a taxi back. Come over. I want to something all day?
Study game tape of St. Helens.
Watch the free weekend of rugby on BT Sport.
Oh, who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah. I think that's the right one, actually.
Yeah, I think it is.
The Daily Mail couldn't show that because it's advertising.
Oh, I see. That's why they blanked it out.
Got it.
Not that it was anything dodgy. Okay.
I'm in Montpellier.
What's he doing there? That's the first question. I mean, are these recent?
Must be playing rugby.
Sale
Sharks were in Montpellier's group last year.
Oh, by the way, another thing about these text messages, she seems to have deleted her responses.
Yeah, she has.
She's such a piece of work.
So, I'm in Montpellier. Just had a chance to something, a girl.
Oh, hold on a minute. I've just got a sound effect that you can maybe use. Say it again.
Okay. I'm in Montpellier. Just had a chance to a girl, but thought I'd rather.
What would he rather do? I think we know what he was offered with the girl, but what would he rather do? Like play Xbox, go drinking, cards?
Drinking, gambling.
See if French golf carts are as quick as English ones.
I love that. Yeah, I think I'd rather not.
I think I'd rather rip my top off in front of a mirror and flex for a few minutes.
That's right.
Go on, Phil. What's another one?
Okay, next one. I want to... all over your...
I think, I've said this before, but I think that text message is as soon as he found out his stuff was on eBay, and it's, I want to drive a golf buggy all over your face. That's exactly how I would feel.
Yeah, let me just mention the stuff that's on eBay. So she's put a load of his stuff on eBay, right? So British and Irish Lions stash, Wigan Warriors jersey. She's also just put a general bundle of clothes, which, like, pants and socks.
And shirts.
Yeah, and like a Christmas jumper. No, a onesie. And shoes.
Not one penny of that money will go to any charity. That is a fact.
Yeah, and love notes as well, and Valentine's cards and things like that, which really, really, that's just beyond the pale.
Well, have you seen all the wedding stuff that's on there? Like her wedding dress and rings and...
£10,000 engagement ring.
And his wedding suits.
Yeah.
And I thought, do I know any big lads, big strapping lads, who have got an upcoming wedding?
Yes!
Who might be looking for a cheap wedding suit.
Maybe a Welsh fan.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. Like, maybe an Andy Powell fan.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think?
Oh, why not?
There's a couple of, well, I wouldn't say lovely suits, but there are a couple of suits.
Yeah, why not? It looks like he's from, like, was it Saturday Night Fever? She's just horrendous, isn't she? She's right there fulfilling her lifelong goal to...
She's right there fulfilling. Oh. I thought that's what you just said. That's what Andy Powell thought when he got that tweet. Now he's regretting it.
Did you see his tweet the other day? That just said, Andy Powell is forever, wags are yesterday's chip shop rappers.
Well said, Andy. Well said. Mm. Him and Gavin Henson in Wales are national
and
treasures.
Mike Phillips.
I hope that he leaves rugby league and does what every fading Welsh star does and goes to the Dragons, him, Henson, Byrne. Imagine that team.
Imagine the beers they'd have. Imagine the rugby socials and the kangaroo courts.
Exactly.
Oh, can we talk about some actual rugby?
Please.
Oh, yes.
And it was a return of the Aviva Premiership. What caught your eye? I mean, well, I suppose the one thing that caught our eye is a load of tries, but...
Yeah, some great tries as well.
I'll tell you what caught my eye. The size of Johnny May's shorts...
The really short ones?
No, the really long ones.
Was he not wearing cycling shorts?
No, we're
shorts?
Not talking about his cycling shorts, are we?
Oh, yeah, cycling shorts.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that before, right down to the knee.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was wearing them for England, but as soon as he gets back to Gloucester, standard issue kit.
Sharples, Trinder, Rob Cook.
It's like they're trying to hide their quads. We want to see the quads, boys, come on.
Exactly. His try was quality, as a team try.
Yeah, really good team try.
And what a game as well, 40-33.
Yeah. I thought Gloucester kind of gave up towards the end. Like they were clearly on top. They played some really good stuff, though. And fair play to Newcastle for getting 2 points out of it. Like they'll be pleased with that.
The 2 points that you mentioned, Phil, the 2 points for Gloucester.
For Newcastle.
Absolutely crucial when you consider the hair's breadth by which Worcester avoided winning again. If they'd have actually managed to finish off all the games they should have won, thinking the game against Leicester recently.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
felt for them. Was it 83 really minutes that they scored?
Yeah, the very last, like, the last kick of the game was Andy Goode against his old club, his conversion to finish the game. David Lemmy's try, someone else actually scored it, but his break for the try was superb, wasn't it?
I do agree with that, except for the fact that the guy making the covering tackle was
Andy Goode, yeah.
But it was Joe Simpson, and Joe Simpson... kind of got body checked and blocked by Andy Goode falling over.
Yeah.
There was only like 2 yards to the touchline and he still managed to go around Andy Goode.
I don't know what you guys think, but every time I watch Worcester, I think, poor old Chris Pennell. Why would he sign that new deal?
But I think that should be applauded. There's too many guys that come through club academies at the less fashionable clubs who go off and don't stick around. You know, you look at Sale Sharks with James Gaskell. You look at London Irish with all the players that played against them for Bath. It's nice to see someone who's going, I could go and play for a bigger club.
I think Worcester are all going to win a game before the season's out. And I think Ryan Lamb might have quite a lot to do with that.
Even a 5-point victory away at Newcastle, which I think is unlikely because they don't seem to be breaching the line very much. Even that, and they're still 7 points behind, even with a 5-point victory. They've got to win 3 games out of their last 5. And that's assuming Newcastle don't pick up any points.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not, it's gone.
And Newcastle have shown that they can score tries.
At the other end of the table, it's getting pretty exciting, isn't it? I was there at the AJ Bell Stadium
We noticed you tweeting.
Sale Sharks v Northampton. And I've got to say, that was a hell of an effort from Sale Sharks.
Defensively superb.
First half, they scored 3 good tries. Northampton, were just not really there. Second half, Sale got out of their half twice. One in the first minute of the second half, one in the last minute of the second half. The rest of the game was played pretty much in Sale's 22, and Northampton couldn't score. It was phenomenal, phenomenal defence.
Yeah.
There was a load. I sort of walked in towards the changing room around in the tunnel after the game, and there was a queue to get in the physio room. There was claret being spilled. There was cuts, there was stitches, there was blood.
They're playing hard. That Peel break was awesome. It reminded me of Peel in his glory years for Wales.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Do you think some of this was down to him putting all of the England players straight back in, all of their internationals straight back in? Luther Burrell, George North, Tom Wood...
Dylan Hartley.
Courtney Laws and Dylan Hartley all started.
Yeah.
Whereas Sale had no one. But they've come off the back of not only like some really physically intense matches. Not only last week they had a physically intense match, but they also would have had the celebrations afterwards as well. And from that like physical and emotional high of like getting to that point and performing really well
to the AJ Bell stage,
to coming back Fortress. Into the grind
in the hail of the second half.
Yeah, I think that's got to have an impact.
I don't bias at all.
So if you think that had no impact, you're saying that Sale are a better team and would beat Northampton at home any day.
You can't take away that victory from Sale.
No, absolutely not.
You are, aren't you? Because what you're saying
it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll be a very different game a week on Thursday when they play in the Hamlin Challenge Cup quarterfinal. Because same two teams, same venue.
Good play by Sale. You know, if we look towards the end of the season, there's a small chance. Sale might end up in the top four, which is absurd.
The way Leicester are looking. It is absurd when you look at last season, but the way Leicester are looking now, and Bath for that matter.
Bath looked great.
They did.
And Leicester's result on Sunday, the 45-15 demolition of Exeter.
Well, Anthony Allen is just sort of the key to unlock outside backs. But Tuilagi and Gonova, that power and pace.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about dangerous back lines, what about Ford, Eastmond? Oh, he's fast. Watson. But
Watson,
of course,
and Abendanen. Ollie Devoto as well.
Yeah,
he's good. And the good guy who is equally as fast, but you may have forgotten,
Rocketaguni,
Jonathan Joseph.
Oh yeah, who's out injured at
so
the moment?
So like, you could have some serious pace in that backline.
Because Rocketaguni is a good player as well.
Yeah. And of course, Gavin Henson.
Serious gas in the backline. They look really good. Although my talking point from the Premiership, I want to bring up right now, was in the London Irish match. And Phil, fair play, you've mentioned this a couple of months ago and we've mentioned it since. What is the point in having television match officials there to make decisions for what the referee can't see or wants to check, but then the referee makes a decision based on the big screen?
Yeah.
I think there might be something in this, you know. I think it'd be very interesting to just have a big screen, and if he needs to go to TMO, the TMO just plays him in slow motion.
Just plays it to the ref.
Just plays it to the ref, because they've already done it on big screens. So
the TMO is a trained referee, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
So you don't need that. You just need someone like a TV guy just to press play.
Just a TV guy.
Press play, press rewind, slow motion.
I wouldn't even have slow motion. I just have match speed.
If that's the way you're going to do it. Make it clear that that's how you're going to do it. But at the moment, we've got some kind of halfway house in between, because that in the Bath London Irish game, the ref went to the TMO. The TMO was ready for his decision, but the ref just said, "Well, unless you can show me another angle, I'm going to award the try."
50 minutes into the game, the score was something like 13-10 to Bath. He went back and said, "Can you check for obstruction?" Now, in the eyes of the pundits from BT, in my personal eyes, I don't know what those two thought.
And they're good pundits.
My opinion as well was, I agree with you.
It was obstruction. I mean,
it had an effect.
Trevor Rayners couldn't make a tackle, or couldn't attempt to make a tackle on Abendanen, because Dave Atwood did block him. It did have a material effect. We never know what the TMO would have said, because the TMO said, "I have a decision for you, Greg. No, unless you show me another angle, I'm giving a try." That was
It's so strange. It's very, very strange.
It is strange to go through the whole thing, to ask for his opinion, to go through the whole thing of him looking, rewinding, so that he can see it exactly how he wants it, and then not ask him for his opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyway.
The one last game that we've not spoke about was the Saris Harlequins.
Demolition.
Yeah.
No, do you know what?
It
is a demolition. There were some lucky tries, I thought.
Two interceptions, really.
And also the Shock Brits try, they should never have let that in.
The Berger try.
Sorry, Berger,
where Shock Brits made the break. Oh, I can't believe you're complaining about a Jack Berger try, Jay.
It's one of those lineouts you learn in school.
Well, I know Sedgley use a very similar lineout frequently, and
for anyone that didn't see it, describe the lineout.
Now, from what I can remember, I could be wrong here. I believe it was off the top and then came straight down to Schalke.
It wasn't even off the top. The front jumper moved backwards, and the front lifter just stayed there, and then just as the jumper went up, the lifter who was on the 5 meter line just turned round, and it was like a 1-2 from Brits to the first man, and then back to him, and Brits was straight down the touchline.
There was one little thing which was pointed out to us on Twitter. In the London Irish game, speaking of lineouts, Matt Parr at one point was lifted. The loose head prop Matt Parr was lifted at the front of the London Irish lineout.
Yeah.
And he was lifted by number six, Kieran Lowe, who is a lineout jumper. Wow. It's bizarre. They must have just found themselves in the wrong position, I think.
No, because he's gone up with his arms up in the air. He's not. No one can lift an 18 stone man without him knowing about it.
So our cocoa butter loving loosehead is jumping in the lineup.
Yeah,
indeed. Good for him. There was at one point with New Zealand that Dan Carter was ready to be lifted by.
That's right.
Julian Sevilla and Mar Nonu.
Julian Sevilla, I bet he could lift a lot.
Him and Mar Nonu throwing Dan Carter up, there'd be no problems there.
Yeah. Some other tweets that we've had from people getting in touch. One of them is a retweet by Jennifer Joy Cudmore.
Yes, did you see that?
Wife of Jamie Cudmore.
So, Tom Piper on Twitter.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Last week said, how did you forget about Jamie Cudmore when we were talking about our Brush with the Law 15?
I know, that was a real stupid omission.
And so I replied to him saying, oh my God, I can't believe I missed an opportunity to talk about and look at topless pictures of Jamie Cudmore.
The hulking Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah, to which Jamie Cudmore's wife then favourited...
Did she follow us?
...both of our tweets.
What we know from that is she goes onto Twitter, Jamie Cudmore's wife goes onto Twitter and searches for the phrase Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah, exactly.
And another Twitter follower, a guy, Eddie Rosa, listens to us from South Sudan.
Wow.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Hi, Eddie. Toby Hopkins on Twitter said he enjoyed the Jailbird 15. Can't believe we didn't include Craig Gower, though.
I stupidly asked.
Australian of Italian heritage, so he's played rugby league for Australia, rugby union for Italy, and he's had a number of alcohol-related off-field incidents, including exposing himself to female Irish tourists.
Right.
Which he did get convicted.
Did Natasha Gascoigne marry him as well?
Chase Michael Pierce with a bottle before vomiting on him. Street nude around a resort, stole and crashed a golf cart.
We've also had lots of contact over the last week the last couple of weeks, in fact, about Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, someone who we've talked about extensively on the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. We absolutely love him, and I'm delighted to say that the world is getting on board the Honey Badger train. He's had an amazing couple of weeks, which all started from a post-match interview after a Western Force match. They got a narrow defeat in New Zealand, and the Honey Badger came up with this absolute gem.
So you nearly got a try on that left-hand side. What happened?
Oh, buddy, I've gone up and over and buddy, head over biscuit.
What's your philosophy on attack with this team?
End of them, basically. Up the guts and then, swing it wide and in the corner.
And finally, Honey Badger, your nickname. Can you explain why?
The badge. Long story short, basically, there's a documentary on National Geographic or Animal Planet, one of them Fox that he set ups. And I watched this thing, and this honey badger was going toe to toe with a male lion. And I managed to, it was underneath him, buddy, underdog, obviously, but he on his back, clawing away, one, two. And then, buddy, the big fella got his canasters clawed off, and he trotted off around the corner and fell over, and the badger gets back up. And I thought, what an animal, you know, that's impressive.
Thanks so much, good to meet you.
Oh, so the guy's a bloody legend. And that's in addition to all the stuff we've previously played on the podcast.
Head over biscuit.
These are some of the best phrases he's used that we've featured before in previous podcasts through the months.
If I end up getting a gig, mate, I'll be going off like a cut snake.
So you're as tough as woodpecker lips.
Yeah, mate, oh buddy, I was like a rat up a drain pipe, one of them runs there. Sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up after scoring that try.
I would say any footballer who hears the Honey Badger in a post-match interview needs to take note, because there is no more boring, cliché-driven... He's a breath of fresh air, isn't he, Nick Cummins?
I think he must have a little pocketbook of phrases to use. Head over biscuit. I mean, it just flows. He doesn't even take breath.
Let's compare it. I'll compare it to James Milner. So this is recently done by James Milner from Manchester City's own sort of TV channel on YouTube channel. So this isn't even a post-match press conference when he would just say, gave 110%, all credit to the lads, they'd done fantastic. This is him when it's meant to be more relaxed, more chatty. So not in a post-match interview. So this is James Milner in a relaxed environment.
I've heard you don't drink alcohol. Would you consider a glass of bubbly if City won the Premiership? If we won the Premiership, I might consider it. I probably wouldn't, but I think that would be the closest I'd ever get to drinking. If we win the Premier League, it'd obviously be a great thing. So I'm sure the lads would be egging me on as well, but I'd probably have to pretend I was drinking it and throw it in a plant pot or something.
Oh, my word.
He's the kind of guy you can imagine hanging out with a...
Like Nick Cummins?
Andy Powell, Nick Cummins.
Natasha Gascoigne would love to go with him.
Oh, she'd love the money.
Oh, my God, what a sad indictment of that team and football in general, that James Milner's going, oh, yeah, if we won the Premiership, the lads would be egging me on to have a sip of champagne.
Have a bit. Go on, James, have a bit.
I'd consider it, but I probably wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't. I'd pretend to drink it and pour it in a flat.
Which means he wouldn't consider it, by the way.
Right, let's compare that to the very latest, because Nick Cummins was playing over the weekend for Western Force. And this was his post-match interview.
When we're back on our line here, and we're D-ing like, buddy, like the boys in the trenches in Gallipoli there. Well, we're not as difficult as that, but and then you know, at the end, they were just like that kid that fell out of the tree. You know, he just wasn't in it. I was chasing balls. I was busier than it, buddy. Well, how busy was I? Well, mate, if you've been up Pilbara way, mate, I was busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad, mate. It was flat out. So when I got that seed going down the sideline there, I had no gas left. And just, buddy, so he clipped me and I went out, mate. I was, buddy, sorry about that.
The guy is special. That line, you're so right, Jay. It just flows out of
Where did it come from?
Well, mate, if you've been up Pilbara way, mate, I was busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad.
I mean, a bricklayer in Baghdad is obviously busy, but, you know, a one-armed bricklayer.
What a guy.
And the other one as well, a Gallipoli reference. Yeah. That's pretty highbrow.
Yeah. Yeah, he did then backtrack a little bit on the Gallipoli, saying he was as busy as the boys in Gallipoli. Yeah, maybe actually not quite that busy.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. Is that an Australian battle? Is that why he
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, right. That'll be why then.
Yeah, there was a film made out of it with what's his name, the famous Jew hating Australian actor.
I might send him
Mel
some.
Gibson.
Mel
Gibson. Yeah.
I might send him some tweets. See if he'll use some mine. Like, I was bouncing around like the 617 squadron or something like that. We were breaking down like Natasha Gascoigne.
Oh, my word. Let's move on quickly. We've got a 15 that we're going to pick this week. Last week, as we just mentioned, when we were talking about some of the tweets we got in, we did a jailbird 15, kind of brushes with the law. If you want to get in touch, no doubt, as we've just proved, there were some we missed from the 15. There'll be some we missed from this 15 as well. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter to suggest this or talk about anything else you hear. It's an outside interest 15. JB, this was your idea.
It was my idea.
It's a good one. The outside interest, by which we mean people that in professional rugby aren't just necessarily solely professional rugby players. It may be another career vocation they're trained for, or it may be a sort of sideline business, or it may just be a hobby that's quite unusual. So an outside interest 15. What we got then? Props.
Loads of props.
Yeah,
there are loads of props.
Yeah. Well, they seem to be interesting characters, props.
They do.
Yeah. It's such an odd job. You can't just be a normal human.
You would quite often expect perhaps props to just be meatheads in the gym all day, eating pounds of protein and just being slightly nuts. But it's some pretty clever props as well.
Mm.
One example: the South African international Yanni du Plessis. He'd be my suggestion for a possible tight head. Older brother of Bismarck, of course.
The warship.
Qualified doctor. When he's not playing, is he will go and treat HIV sufferers in a clinic and operates as well in a military hospital. But this is in addition to playing Super Rugby and for South Africa.
And owning a cattle farm with his father,
what?
Father and brother. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Bismarck and Yanni, they have a family cattle farm.
Christ, well, that beats my suggestion, which is going to be Julian White, who missed a World Cup to run a farm. Yanni not only won a World Cup with a farm, but he also qualified to be a doctor whilst doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And treats HIV sufferers and military
God.
Casualties.
Yeah. He's an actual hero.
An actual hero.
Yeah.
So Yanni du Plessis, there's no question he's getting our number three shirt.
I bet he doesn't get any tweets from... I bet he does, actually. I bet he doesn't answer the tweets.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Too busy being a hero. The loose head prop, then.
I don't know if we can match that. We should just fold this up and go home.
We can't match that.
But we can have
interesting ones. So, Andrew Sheridan.
Andrew Sheridan.
Of course.
He's
guitar player and bricklayer.
Yeah, he's released what was it, soft ballad, rock ballad album, and he's a bricklayer.
Actually, a published songwriter, and he's a bricklayer.
I'm surprised he's not into things more like powerlifting and stuff.
Well, I think he does that as well, but that's all based around his rugby.
All right, so we've got Andrew Sheridan and Gianni Duplessis. That's a pretty strong start, that. Not least, they're just good players as well.
Yeah.
Hooker.
Well, just one other prop we could have.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Church.
Of course.
Kean Healy.
Yes.
Or even Matt Stevens, who obviously...
Now, that's a great one, because he's a cafe owner.
Yeah. Do you know who he owned it with?
It was...
The hooker, what's
it
his name?
It was Lee Mears. Yeah.
Lee Mears, yeah.
And so there's another one, he could be isn't that. There?
But it was quite funny when Matt Stevens got his drug ban and then starts up a coffee shop. So it's like, what exactly are you selling in your coffee shop?
Dutch style.
Yeah. there's another prop who has a sideline business with a fellow teammate or a former teammate, and that's Castro Giovanni.
Oh, you missed it.
Owns an Italian restaurant in Leicester called Timmy with, do you know?
Hang on. Romero Paz.
Nope.
Former teammate.
Well, Jordan Murphy.
Well, Italian. Jordan Murphy, it is. Oh, Jordan Murphy, yeah.
That. Well played.
I've got one, now you've started mentioning it, Phil Vickery.
Oh, Raging Bull clothing.
Yeah, of course.
And also an awful pundit. Bless him.
But we've got loads of props then. We might have to convert a prop to hooker unless we've got a hooker. You've got a good hooker?
Lee Mears, Brian Moore's trained solicitor and worked as a solicitor for
His question to Nelson Mandela, do you drive on the left-hand side of the road or something ridiculous like that?
Who?
He said, as
Nelson Brian Mandela, Moore?
Yeah.
Really?
He said, like,
well, when they were introduced to him in the World Cup?
Yeah, they all got to ask one question. Brian Moore's was, do you drive on the left-hand side of the road? I had a guy called Ronnie Hinchcliffe who used to play prop for Hull and Dewsbury and is a pigeon fancier.
Lovely. Cheers, Jay.
Okay.
Who gets our hooker shirt?
Lee Mears.
Let's go, Lee Mears. It's got to be outside. It's got to be beyond the amateur era, really, because everyone had an outside interest in the job and all the rest.
Yeah,
but
the really interesting ones are still pretty interesting. If
yeah,
that
that's
sense.
True. That's true. All right, Lee Mears. Well done, you coffee shop owner. You're in second row.
Oof, I struggled a bit with second row.
I did.
Confirms what I've said in the past, that all second rows are boring.
Exactly. Mm. Couldn't agree more.
I found Will James is currently the chairman of the Rugby Players Association, but that's
we can't be
well within the realms of
and
rugby
we can't
playing.
Be cele- we can't be seen on here to be celebrating trade unionists.
Have you got any back rows that can play second row?
Well, let's just jump to back row. Let's just say we've got a void in our thoughts then in second row. I mean, because again, you go back to the amateur era and there's people like Wade Dooley, which were policemen and all the rest of it. But in the professional era, I know James Hudson is like a PhD in chemistry, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Is he really?
So he's a chemist.
He's Dr. Hudson.
I know he studied chemistry to a really high level. He was at Bath University when I was there. And he's since done some postgraduate study.
Oh, Nathan Budgett played for the Welsh volleyball team. There you go.
You love Nathan Budgett.
I love Nathan Budgett. Nick Kennedy's mum is an author.
Kennedy's mum is an author. We really are clutching the straw in the second row. We need some help.
Yes, please.
So, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, we're really getting back. Let's try and save this. Well, right,
Tim Rodbrett was in the army.
He was. James Haskell has got, a multifaceted business outside of rugby, including...
Brand Haskell.
Supplements. Brand Haskell, yeah, with his...
Coffee.
Supplements, coffee.
Yeah, Irish Squirrel coffee.
And he does the MMA commentary now, and I quite like it.
He does the MMA commentary?
Yeah, for Five Live. He's not great at the commentary. He doesn't do the commentary, he does the interviewing. I quite like him in that function. I think he's on something there. Carving out a little niche.
Fair enough.
Mm. Oh, and also he's got a... I don't know if you know this, he's got an interest in posting videos on YouTube topless of him working out. Did anyone know that?
James Haskell's in. Who else?
Another coffee shop owner.
Go on.
Chris Robshaw, recently.
Ah. Yeah. And he's into operatics as well.
Yeah. Into singers.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely into singers.
Hang on a minute. How about Luke Watson? I mean, he definitely has outside interests. He's like an active racial campaigner.
Andy Powell's got outside interests of just marrying nutters.
Poor Andy Powell.
I think we've got enough to fill a back row.
Emmanuel Arunordike.
Farmer?
No.
Mm.
Owns a designer clothes shop.
We're done with back. We need help with second row. We're done. Yeah. We've got plenty of back row. Let's move into the backs then and scrum half.
Dawson versus Healy.
Oh. Yeah, it's kind of in the sphere of rugby, so it's a funny one picking that, isn't it? But they have both done very well.
Dawson is excellent at everything.
Well,
on
Dawson,
Earth.
Of course, dancing.
Well, cooking?
All the rest of it.
Cooking, yeah, because he's had. He won. Oh, no, he came. No, he did win MasterChef. Mm-hmm. But he also owns, or certainly has a big stake in, the Fuller Flavour Sausage Company.
Yes.
Which some of them have his face on them.
Hello, Fuller Flavour Sausage Company. Our address is...
yeah.
Matt Dawson is in. Fly half.
Matt Gitto. Matt Gitto has a huge amount of equity, or supposedly is meant to have a huge amount of equity, in a company that produces petrol from some seeds or some plants.
So like biofuel.
Biofuels, yeah. So when he was... in fact, it could be fuel pellets, in fact. So when he was signed to Western Force as the supposed million-dollar man, it wasn't because he's getting paid a million dollars, or that was headline figure. That was the value of his shares, which he was given.
Wow.
Mm. There you go.
Johnny Wilkinson owns a clothes company.
With his brother Mark.
Yeah, Lipe Contepomi.
Solicitor or doctor?
Doctor.
Yeah.
Trained doctor. I read an interview in Rugby World not that long ago that was with Toby Flood, and asking about what he does off the pitch, and he said he's a very keen gardener.
And him and
Matthew Tate are like looking forward to their whatever it was, rhododendrons and hydrangeas coming through this year.
I like that. That's quality.
Toby Flood, the gardener at 10. Yeah. Let's put him in, and scrum half will go Matt Dawson. We've got Gitto potentially in the centre, but Sonny Bill Williams.
He has
martial arts, boxing, rugby league, every sport you can imagine.
He's awesome at as well.
Looking like an incredible specimen, getting body tattoos.
Does that beat Jamie Roberts? We could have We could have an all doctor.
You probably
centre partnership with Felipe Contepomi and Jamie Roberts. I don't know.
Sonny Bill could be slotted in on the wing as well.
Mm, yeah, he played there for New Zealand.
But what about on the wing, James Simpson Daniel with his biltong? Him and his brother.
Oh, yeah.
His biltong.
Yeah.
Who else does biltong? The old sail prop?
Jack Forster.
Yeah. Mm. By the way, delicious biltong. He was at Broughton Park.
Yeah. Very good biltong.
Yeah, very good biltong.
That's Farmer Jack's biltong.
That's the one.
That's it.
When we interviewed Austin Healy and Ben Kay, and we asked them who'd done best out from the World Cup, and they said Leon Lloyd is now a high-flying executive. Leon Lloyd is chief executive of Legion Worldwide. So I've been on there.
That sounds like a company that sends mercenaries over to Iraq to guard oil fields.
It does. The description of them on their website is they're an international conglomerate business focused on financial services, professional services, and sports, hospitality, and leisure.
Wow.
And he's CEO.
Oh, well, actually, on that note, Charlie Hodgson is going to be a rugby agent, rugby players agent.
Is he?
Yep, that's his next move.
So,
Ben Cohen, gay rights activist.
Yeah. He's like a big gay icon in America.
Now, who? Ben Cohen?
Ben Cohen. Have we got a centre partnership then?
We've got loads of centres.
Tons of centres, haven't we?
We could have the two doctors.
So let's go the two doctors, Contepomi and Roberts. I like that.
So the wingers, we mentioned a few.
Well, we could slot Sonny Bill on the wing. He played international wing for New Zealand, and Ben Cohen as well, James Simpson Daniel.
Rory Underwood, a bit older pilot.
Fighter pilot, yeah.
Paul Sackey?
Paul Sackey, yeah.
What's Paul Sackey's story?
International car dealer?
Yeah.
What?
There's some information on this. Very sparse, the information on the internet.
Sorry, not international, luxury car dealer.
Yeah.
Luxury car dealer, what?
His Wikipedia page, now this must be a joke, but it lists one of his achievements as a car salesman as selling a £330,000 Reliant Robin.
What?
Which someone's having a laugh on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Unless it, because he's played for London clubs, unless it was the Only Fools and Horses, the
That's
original.
The only one it could be.
Reliant Robin, but I can't find any more information on it.
Oh, it's got to be a joke. I want that to be true so badly. Let's just put him in on the 15, just hoping it's true.
If anyone knows any information about that, please get in touch.
Paul Sackey on one wing, the luxury Robin Reliant car dealer.
Jason Robinson's got gone into farming now.
Has he?
Yeah.
He's also involved in Pro Skins, like Under Armour, basically.
Hmm, interesting.
I reckon Ben Cohen, the gay rights activist, it's quite unusual. I think
it is unusual.
Yeah, that's good.
And at fullback, you can have Jason Robinson.
Or Jordan Murphy.
Or Matt Gitto.
Or Matthew Tate.
Why do I think I've got another
Matthew
one?
Tate, the gardener.
Well, Matthew Tate, as well as being a gardener, I read an interview with him years ago that said he was training to be a doctor. So I just looked that up when I was researching this. And he's sacked that off, but he's now training to be a commercial pilot when he finishes playing.
Oh, I knew that, actually.
And he's a good Harry Potter impersonator. So, Matt Tate, the fullback.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Because he turns invisible.
Wow. Oh, what an amazing place to finish. Listen, get us out. So if you've got any more to suggest for the 15, the outside interest 15, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, save us from that horrific joke, Phil. You said you got some rugby guess who.
Yes. So I've been working down in London this week, which means long working days and lonely evenings eating on my own. And I was eating on my own.
Natasha Gascoigne, just get in touch via at Rugby Podcast if you want some companionship.
I was eating on my own on Thursday night, and I looked to my left and I saw a famous rugby player, and I was in a sushi restaurant.
Okay,
so yes, no questions to guess who it is. Take it in turns for your yes, no questions.
Is this rugby player from one of the home unions?
Yes.
In terms of nationality, right, yes, okay. Does this person play for a London club?
Yes.
Right, so that's Quins, Sarries, Irish. I don't think you'd be saying it if it wasn't a really good player. So I'm going to go, if you don't mind me asking another question, James.
Go for it.
Is this player an international?
Yes.
Right, so we've got Sarries, Irish.
Does he play inside the M25?
No.
Ooh, oh, so Wasps or Irish. Or it could... What else is...
Sarries are outside the M25.
Are they? Well, Sarries, okay. Did this player start regularly in the Six Nations recently?
No.
Right.
Hmm. Does this player back?
Yes.
I feel like we should have some music. Hold on.
have you got the Jeopardy music?
There we go.
Great music.
Right, does this player play for Saracens?
Yes.
Right, a back for Saracens.
Is it Joel Tompkins?
Ah.
No.
I know. I reckon someone who would need a massive amount of protein to supply enough muscle to that jaw to make that huge jaw work. Is this player Brad Barrett?
Correct.
Yes! What? In a sushi restaurant? Never! Sorry, can I have a bit back? Well, always lose his games. Doesn't matter who I play.
What was he having?
Lots and lots of sushi. Him and a mate, an unknown mate, having lots of sushi, no beers.
What's his jaw like when you're up close?
Big. Yeah, wow. Big, strong jaw.
Who has a squarer jaw and larger shoulders, him or Jamie Noon?
He's a bigger lad than Jamie Noon.
Yeah, but, you know, proportionate.
Probably similar. I've never seen Jamie Noon in the flesh.
I'd like to dress them both up like Buzz Lightyear.
I wish I was with... Because I was just on my own, so obviously, like... I was very reluctant. I really wanted to go up and say, can I get a soundbite for the Egg Chasers podcast? But I was just a bit too, like, I don't know.
Starstruck.
Yeah, starstruck, that's the word. Mm. So next time I see someone famous in London,
That's all right, because you can't do any worse than JB, who had the opportunity to get Jonathan Davis and managed to somehow get the worst audio quality that we've ever heard.
I am Jonathan Davis, and this is the Egg Chasers podcast.
I had to interrupt him listening to the Egg Chasers podcast. He was furious.
So you didn't have any moment with Brad Barrett. And I suppose with no one there, you couldn't take a picture where you're pretending to take a picture of the person opposite you and actually take a picture of him.
He was directly to the side of me, so it would have been weird if I'd like spun round on my seat. Should have got chatting.
An icebreaker. Then before you know it, it's 3 a.m. and you're in some sleazy Soho club.
And you're marrying them and then you're divorcing them and then you're selling Brad Barrett's stuff on eBay.
Exactly. Like any decent human would do.
Oh, Andy Powell. what's going to happen this next week between now and then, I don't know. There'll be new stories every day. The tabloids have got older. This is probably, the stuff we've talked about is probably out of date now already.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is it? I mean, he's a good rugby player, but he's not good enough to get this amount of attention, is he?
No.
Bless him.
Right, so Premiership this weekend. We've had a great weekend of Premiership just gone, but there's some more tasty games. The live game on Friday night on BT Sport is Bath v Sale at the Rec. How'd you see that one going? I mean, I don't think Sale will be expecting to get anything out of this. Maybe a losing bonus point.
Well, their run of form is pretty good. They'll be high in confidence.
I think they'll fancy it. I mean, I don't think they'll get anything, but I think they will fancy it. I mean, if they don't...
They'll fancy getting a point out of it, I reckon. If their defence is good enough to hold Northampton for a full 40 minutes in that second half, then I reckon they'll fancy it.
If Sale were to get a win, my word, does that make things interesting.
It really does.
For everyone.
It really does when you consider Sale are 7 points behind Leicester, and Leicester
and
are...
Leicester and Bath.
Oh, sorry, well, yeah, Leicester and Bath. But Leicester are away at Northampton, and if Sale beat Bath, they're right in the mix there.
Steve Diamond was very much playing that down.
Yeah.
After the game, they said, "Oh, it's probably too much for us, top four. It's probably too much for us." But I think quietly they'll know if they could squeeze something out. And you never know, a bit of bad weather or...
I'm not sure. I don't think Steve Diamond has that kind of modesty. I think he thinks that they can make it. I bet he thinks the players aren't good enough, but by God, does he think he's good enough.
I'd have to go logic, home win.
Yeah. Bath, and I think Bath will score a few tries as well. I think they've looked so good.
I think
brilliant.
Possibly one of the best signings of the whole season. Well, George Ford, you mentioned, would be one, and Leicester must be kicking themselves that they don't have him. But the other one is not a player, and that's Mike Forshaw, the Sale defensive coach, because I think he's made the biggest difference.
Yeah, you mentioned that very early on in the season, and it's really come true. It's a very good point.
Exeter Gloucester.
Hmm.
It's not quite a dead rubber game, but almost.
Bonus point for Exeter.
Exeter have just come off the back of hammering away at Leicester, and
they're now 11 points from top six.
It's not happening, is it?
Yeah.
But 11 points from top six.
Yeah.
Oh.
But there's only 2 points in between Exeter and Gloucester as well, so
yeah.
Exeter will really want to win that. And I think at home they'll probably just have the edge.
I think at home they'll have the edge as well. Quinn's Irish. I mean, Quinn's aren't playing well. Irish.
No.
Irish are a tough team, aren't they? You can't be off your game at Irish.
You see Topfield-Joe's try at the weekend?
Pick and go. Mm. Oh, my God.
I think they've got a few players that look like they're kind of wanting the season to finish, though. I think Marlon Yard didn't quite... I mean, it's his first start back, I suppose, but...
He's playing against his future employer.
Future employer. That's an interesting little side story.
Mm. So he'll want to impress, really want to demonstrate that he's better than his opposite man.
And Quinns have struggled in the...
And vice versa.
Quinns have struggled in the front row, front five. So that's a tough one to call. And you think you probably have to just go home win, the home advantage at the Stoop. Should be.
I'd like to see Irish get 1 or 2 points out of the game, though.
Wasps, Sarries, another London match.
Wasps have got zero chance.
Yeah, Sarries gone to the top of the league after that demolition of Harlequins. And Wasps didn't look good against Worcester, but just did enough. So Saracens by 15 points.
Saracens for me as well. And then here we go. What a tasty game this is. Northampton Saints v Leicester. 3:15 kickoff, live match on Saturday afternoon.
If you asked me this 48 hours ago, I'd say Northampton. I think now it's Leicester nailed on.
Leicester are getting kind of their players back at the right time, aren't they?
Getting hot.
They're looking good.
And they've got a fresh Tuolangi, whereas everyone else is saying, oh, all our top players are tired. Well, he's been out for God knows how long. He's raring to go.
Yeah.
And they're missing Corbisiero, they really are.
Is there any news on when he'll be back?
No. I think that this game should bring out the best in Northampton.
How do we not have Corbisiero with his rap as an outside interest? By the
way? Oh, my word. Maybe he could accompany Andrew Sheridan's next musical venture with some rapping interludes. That'd be good. Anyway. I'm gonna go home win because they were poor and under par at Northampton, but this match brings out pretty feisty side in Northampton, and I'm gonna go home win.
I'm gonna say away win, Leicester by 3.
Away win, Leicester by more than 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think it'll be a great game. If you're not doing anything on Saturday, 3:15, get BT Sport on.
Thanks, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And by the way, if you are doing something, at 3. Just go and get BT Sport anyway.
Yeah, you can watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
I was watching it on my laptop.
Yeah, get the BT Sport app and have it on the go.
Yeah, my phone, my laptop.
Yeah, my my laptop actually faces... So you come into my office, and only I can see my laptop. I often watch BT Sport instead of working.
And even though you were watching it instead of working, you found that watching it, your boss came to you and said you're incredibly productive and, and a model employee.
Oh my God, is that BT Sport? And he watched it too. So watch BT Sport.
We will certainly be doing that. Right, listen, thank you very much for listening. That's what we reckon. What do you reckon, based whether it's on the weekend's games, on the 15 we picked, on Andy Powell, on the Honey Badger, or on anything else you've heard, then on Brad Barrett's jaw, or anything really, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we look forward to hearing from you there, and then hearing, well, and then we'll be back next week for another podcast. Enjoy the rugby. Nice one, JB.
See you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.